We're going to look at Mark chapter 10, and we're going to pick up in verse 35. Mark 10, verse 35. When you're there, would you say amen? Amen. If you've been there a while, would you say amen? Amen? And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the ten heard it, that is the other disciples, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him, invited the rest of the family together, and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." Notice verse 43. "But it shall not be so among you." Would you read that with me? "It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Can you believe this encounter that Jesus had with James and John? As they were selfishly asking Jesus, "Will you give us position and prominence? Will you allow us to sit at your right and your left when you come into glory?" They had no concept of what they were asking in the economy of God. But Jesus used it as a teachable moment, just as a parent would with a child, inviting the rest of the disciples into the discussion. And then Jesus announced to them his reason for coming, his reason for existence. It's one of those moments where Jesus clarified who he is and why he is there. When Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, many of us grow up in a culture where we are to pursue greatness, that each day we wake up with ambition, with fire, with octane, with excitement, and we believe that we want to become something great, and it motivates us. We go to different classes throughout our childhood, and teachers invest in us, inspire us, and ask the best out of us, and they seek to get us to reach our potential. And we're so filled with promise, and we're so excited about the life is to come, and we're dreaming about what could be and what should be, and that is vision. And it's a vision for greatness, that we want to become great, and greatness is not sin. God calls us to be great in his economy. God wants you to reach your God-given potential. God wants you to reach your full redemptive potential. But greatness in God's economy is not something that you ascribe to. It's something you descend into. You see, in God's economy, you descend into greatness, where the last shall be first, where he who is servant of all is greatest of all. It's inverted in relation to our culture, where you have to be at the top and make the most money and have the fame and accolations. But in God's economy, it's all about serving in humility. And as we've been unpackaging this concept of identity, that our true identity of Christ, as we've learned, is that I am a soldier for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that I am a saint, set apart by God and for God. And this morning we learn that I am a servant. And you'll never be more like Jesus than when you're serving. Jesus came to this earth. And remember what Jesus left, the glory of heaven, to come to this earth. And what did Jesus do? He lived a life of servitude. He came not to be served. He was served in heaven. He left the glory of heaven where he was served and came to this sin-infected, sin-infested earth in order not to be served, but to serve. And he lived a sinless life. And then he gave his life as a ransom. That is, Jesus died on the cross to pay our sin debt in full and to purchase our salvation. Jesus died in our place. Was buried in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the dead. We serve a living Savior who's in the world today. He's alive. Walked the earth for 40 days and he ascended to the right hand of the Father where he makes intercession for the saints. That is us. And then we learn in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit came and gave birth to what's called the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, "And I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt each believer. And on that day, 3,000 were saved. So the church grew from 120 in the upper room to 3,120. Then the church grew to 5,000. And then the Lord continued to add to their number daily those who were being saved. And the church grew exponentially. Then in Acts chapter 8, we find the persecution of the church. And so the church went from being the church gathered to the church scattered. And the Bible says they preached the word of God wherever they went. In other words, they bloomed for God's glory wherever he planted them. And the gospel spread in fulfillment of Acts 1:8. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. And 2,000 years later, here we are at Champion Forest Baptist Church, the church of the living God. Aren't you thankful that the disciples embraced a teachable moment to recognize that our life is not about being served, our life is about serving others. And we are to descend into greatness. I want you to write this phrase down. Jesus is our model to follow. Would you write that down? Jesus is our model to follow. I love Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, here's a question I want us to wrestle with. Are you living up to your new identity in Christ? Are you living up to your new identity in Christ? You are a soldier, you are a saint, and praise God by his grace, you are a servant. Now, what does that look like in the church? Well, first of all, you have to understand what the church is. I'm going to give you three concepts related to the church I want you to write down. Here's number one. The church is a family, an army, and the body of Christ. So the church is a family. We do life together. We serve together, we hurt together, and we praise God and rejoice together. So the church is a family, God's family. When you got saved, when you transferred your trust from yourself to Jesus alone for salvation, you were adopted into God's family, God's forever family. Now that is for all eternity. But also, you are experiencing the local expression of God's family here at Champion Forest Baptist Church. God's family. We're also an army, and we're serving in the Lord's army, that God has raised us up to be on mission with him. And then we're the body of Christ. Jesus had a physical body on the earth. Whenever Jesus ascended and went to heaven, is at the right hand of the Father, we are now his expressed body. So that when others see us, they ought to see Jesus. Amen. When people spend time with you, they ought to feel like they've been with Jesus. Because we are the body of Christ. As you know, the church is a salvation station. And many of you recognize that this is an environment of worship. We have 9 venues of worship every Sunday morning. And every venue of worship is a salvation station. Often, whenever we are meeting with a couple to plan their wedding, or meeting with a family to plan a funeral, often we're asked, "Now, would you be willing to share the gospel at our wedding? Or would you be willing to share the gospel, the good news at the funeral?" And very politely, we go ahead and share that anytime we're given an opportunity to speak, we're going to share the gospel. Because outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have very little of eternal value to say. So, of course, we're going to share the gospel. And the reason that Champion Forest Baptist Church is a salvation station is because we're very intentional. As we invite our friends and acquaintances and neighbors to this church on this campus, in any venue, your friends, our acquaintances, those we invite to this campus will be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're a salvation station. But also, we're a maturation station. That sounds really deep, doesn't it? We're a maturation station. Our goal is not for you to just get saved and be a babe in Christ for the rest of your life. We have a maturation process through our life groups that our goal is to get you to move from the milk of the word, meh, to the meat of the word, ribeye. We want you to grow up in your faith. Not only show up, we want you to grow up for the glory of God. And we're passionate about life groups because we're passionate about maturation. And then thirdly, mobilization. We're a church serious about mobilization. We're a mobilization station. Some churches embrace the concept, well, we're just like a cruise ship. We're going to make your experience so delightful. We're going to feed you. We're going to pamper you. We're going to baby you. You'll feel like you've been on a cruise. And that mentality has permeated the American culture, where now you have people who are shopping for churches like they're shopping for a cruise online. What can you do for me? And it's called consumerism that has infiltrated the church. And it's all about, what can you do for me? Well, if you're not going to feed me and pamper me, then I'm going down the street where somebody else can do it. And I want to say to you, we're all about hospitality. We believe in rolling out the red carpet, CFBC style. We're all about building bridges to broken people. But we are not here to pet and pamper. We're here to raise up an army of soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are a mobilization station to mobilize people in ministry. Of course, you've heard our strategy, no, grow, go. We want you to know the Lord. We want you to grow up in the Lord, and we want you to go on mission with the Lord. Know, grow, and go so you can show the world that Jesus saves. Now, here's the second statement I want you to write down. We are saved not to sit, but to serve. We're saved not to sit, but to serve. Now, in this environment, of course, we have theater seats. But the goal is not to get saved so that we can sit and soak and enjoy comfort. The reason of our salvation is so that we can serve. And we serve the Lord by serving others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, what we learn is that at salvation, we are endowed with spiritual gifts. At the moment of conversion, God equips you, God anoints you, God equips you by giving you spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As a good steward of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, what does God's Word teach us? That at salvation we receive either a speaking gift, teaching, preaching, exhortation, or a serving gift, leadership, administration, helps, giving. So we have speaking gifts, and if God has given you a speaking gift, you are to speak as the very word of God, the oracles of God. If God has given you a service gift, a serving gift, you are to employ that with the strength God provides. In other words, don't operate in your gifting in the flesh. Operate in your gifting by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll never feel closer to God than when you're operating based on your gift mix and serving the Lord God. It'll just make you come alive. You'll pull out of that environment and say, I was made for that. Why? Because you were operating based on the gifting God has placed on you. Here's a third statement I want you to write down. Our purpose is to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth. That's why we exist. That's why we're alive. Jesus is in heaven, the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. He's empowered us by the Holy Spirit to be on mission with Him. We are His hands, we are His feet, and God has assigned us to be commissioned to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth. If you're writing your notes, John 13:15, this is such an intimate passage of Scripture where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, serving them. Then He says this amazing statement in verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Jesus is the example, the model to follow. And He is not asking us to do anything He has not already done on our behalf. He just wants us to continue His ministry. And I want to say to you this morning, that's what makes Champion Forest Baptist Church so unique, so special, is God has blessed this church family with servants. Those who take God seriously, those who embrace the Great Commission, those who are willing to put others' needs first, those who are willing to wash feet, and they're called servants. And when you trace the history of Champion Forest Baptist Church, you will recognize a common thread: servitude. To continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth. And the reason we're so blessed this morning to be in a worship center that seats 4,200 is because we have a 43-year history of people who faithfully serve God. And I want to know this morning, how many of you have been a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church for more than 10 years? Raise your hand. Wow. Well, if you'll put your hands down. How many have been a member more than 20 years? Raise your hand. Look at the hands. How many of you have been a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church for more than 30 years? Raise your hand. 30 years. How many of you have been a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church more than 40 years? Would you raise your hand? Look at the hands. What a blessing. Let's give them a big hand. Thank you for your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. September 20th, 1970. Pastor Robin Guess and his family and a minister of music became the congregation at Champion Forest Baptist Church. First service, six people. Robin Guess and his family and the director of music, Pete Sanchez. Then February 25th, 1973, God blessed Champion Forest Baptist Church with the opportunity to break ground on a 9-acre site at 12501 Champion Forest Drive. How many of you remember that? And then, on April 2nd, 1978, God raised up the second pastor at Champion Forest Baptist Church, Dr. Damon Shook, who became the shepherd at Champion Forest Baptist Church. Then in 1997, after explosive growth, explosive building campaigns, back to back to back to back, including a multi-level parking garage behind the church to make room for people. And if it meant having a shuttle service where you park at Randall's, get on a bus and come to church so that other people could have a place to park, whatever it took, the servants of Champion Forest Baptist Church rolled out the red carpet and were willing to put on the white gloves and serve. So that in 1999, Champion Forest Baptist Church became one church. In 1997, one church in two locations. This became the North Campus. The Family Life Center, multi-purpose, became the worship center. And the church operated for a season at two locations. And then in 1999, Champion Forest sold its former site. And then everybody moved to the promised land. Here on 55 acres, phase two was built so that everybody can move over here. Then phase three was built. The worship center that seats 4,200. The chapel that seats 400. The library that has 40,000 volumes. And over 3,000 books are checked out every single month for the glory of God. And all that came to be in 1999 and so forth. May 1st, 2005, Dr. Shook retired after 27 years of impeccable character and integrity in leadership and modeled servitude. 27 faithful years, and allowed us to birth two little mission churches, the Woodlands Church and Community of Faith. two little churches that were birthed out of Champion Forks Baptist Church. We birthed another church in Seattle, and we birthed two churches in New York, and we're going to birth a church in Haiti, and we're birthing a church in New Orleans, and we're birthing a church in St. Louis. Why? Because God's not through with us yet. We're still on mission with God. And then on January 7, 2007, God raised up our third senior pastor here at Champion Forks Baptist Church when Dr. David Fleming preached his first sermon as senior pastor of this amazing church and immediately launched forward into moving and going with God, added 1,000 parking spaces, built 3 new buildings simultaneously in the worst economy since the Great Depression, but God was still on his throne. We renovated the entire campus, launched television ministry, broke the 4,000 barrier in life groups, Sunday school, and we became one church in 2 languages. 6 years ago, we had 60 Spanish members meeting in a little area. Now, 1,700 Spanish-speaking members at Champion Forks Baptist Church, which at 11 a.m. will be in this main worship center, worshiping the Lord God in Spanish. A church who understands the power of servitude and continuing the ministry of Jesus. A church that understands putting the needs of others before their own. Therefore, on September 15, 2013, in 61 days from right now, we're going to launch our new North Campus just 1 mile east of Hooks Airport at the new Klein ISD Multipurpose Center. And we'll have life groups at 9:45, worship at 11. We're going to have preschool, children, student, adult life groups. And we're going to have worship for families. And we're going north to reach people we have not reached and to see God's kingdom expand. Why would we do that? Because we're here to continue the ministry of Jesus. That's why we do what we do. And I want to tell you, if you ever dig down to see what it takes for Champion Forks Baptist Church to work, you'll be blown away. We have 10,000 members, 5,600 on campus every Sunday, and it takes 2,086 volunteers mobilized to make church work. 2,086. 300 alone for preschool ministry. Can I have an amen? 140 for children's ministry, 100 volunteers for student ministry, 12 volunteers for our special needs ministry to children and adults in special needs, volunteers for college, young adults, median adults, 55 plus, and now adults ministry 65 plus. Those who volunteer for our library ministry, those who volunteer in our prayer room, our intercessory ministry, those who volunteer in our homeless ministry, our shut-in ministry, our prison ministry, those who serve in hospitality, that is ushers and greeters, parking lot attendants, and those who drive the shuttle carts that get up on 2 wheels to get you here quickly, and those who serve in our valet ministry for those who are unable to park their own car and to walk that far. It takes 340 volunteers every Sunday just in the area of hospitality. In our media ministry for our 9 worship venues, it takes 54 volunteers to make that those venues work. In our music ministry, 300 volunteers. In our print ministry, that is the worship folder you're holding every Friday morning, 15 to 20 of our people just show up in a room with a stack of 6,000 worship folders, and everything inside the worship folder, they stuff. Here's what it looks like. Donut, stuff, stuff, stuff. Donut, stuff, stuff, stuff. Donut, and it's one of our most popular ministries. It's growing. In missions, we have our ladies' current missions who are building a bridge to broken people, not only through prayer, but in practical service. We have a ministry to our international students. We have 200 international students on campus who are learning English as a second language taught by volunteers in our ministry who serve in that capacity. And it takes a large volume of volunteers to make that happen. As you know, we have local missions, we have regional missions and global missions that we mobilize our people for mission trips every single year. 2,086 volunteers. And now we're launching a North Campus. And our greatest need in our North Campus is the fact that we're going to have six 24-foot trailers delivered full of equipment, placed in our new bus barn on the back of our property here on our main campus. Every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m., we need six men with trucks to come hook up to the trailers. Bring them to the North Campus, back them up, and then 45 to 50 volunteers that we need God to continue to raise up who will unload the trailers to go set up for preschool, children, student, and adult life group ministry, and then preschool, children, and student area ministry for the second hour. Then we're going to have family worship at 11 o'clock. We need people who will serve in extended care, who will help set up the worship environment, sound, light, video, staging. It is a major undertaking so that we can reach people that we're not reaching. And we need an army of volunteers. So here's the question. How do you continue the ministry of Jesus through Champion Forest Baptist Church? Here's one word. Serving. Just simply step up to serve. Descend into greatness by serving. We've made it so easy for you. All you do is go to championforce.org. Here's what you'll see. You'll see our main web page, and up at the top it says volunteer. You just select volunteer. And that will take you to a page that matches my tie. It's a page that has volunteer opportunities. And you can go to this bottom right-hand corner and just select all opportunities to see what's available. And then you'll see this page. And you can view all the opportunities that we have available to you. And you select one. And it emails a staff member who will connect with you personally to help you get connected in serving in that ministry. Maybe you feel called to go north and help us launch the North Campus, where I'll be the lead pastor preaching every Sunday. And you want to be a part of that experience. All you do is go to championforest.org to the same opening page and select the red tab at the bottom that says One Church, Two Locations, North Campus. And it'll give you an opportunity to fill out a brief online survey where you can check the opportunities that you're interested in serving. Continuing the ministry of Jesus. Now the reality is, Champion Forest Baptist Church would not be the church it is today had day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, for the past 43 years, our members not stepped up to serve. Now, what about you? Maybe for you, you're serving. We're going to ask you to step it up again and serve this next year. Maybe for you, you're on the sidelines. We're going to ask you to get off of the sidelines and get onto the playing field. And maybe you're intimidated by serving, and we can give you a low-entry service opportunity where you don't need a lot of training, but it's an opportunity for you to use your gifts to glorify God. But everybody is somebody in the body of Christ. Are you willing to descend into greatness, not to be served, but to serve, and let God use you to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth?
We hope you enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org.